because we already know that your word will never return back to you void, but your word will accomplish your will in our lives. Hallelujah. If we will receive it by faith, acting on your word, walking in your word, you are faithful and just, Father God, to work your word in our life. Father, I thank you for your calling and your anointing upon me, and it's in that anointing that I'm resting right now. And we give you all the glory, Lord, all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen with me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I want to talk with you for a little while, minister to you concerning, and this is very, very important. Very important. And I think you'll be able to see that more clearly as I get into this message. But I want to minister to you concerning having a genuine love for God. Having a genuine love for God. Let me say that again. Having a genuine love for God. Amen. We have to understand that God is everything to us. I need to say that again. God is everything to us. We absolutely cannot exist without Him. And that applies to the saved and the unsaved. Amen. Whether you're saved or not, you still have to have air to breathe. Guess who provides that for you? God. Yes, He does. Amen. And that's just one example. We need Him. If God removed His hand from the earth, if God removed His hand from our lives, and again, I'm talking to saved and unsaved, we would absolutely be no more. It's God that is keeping us. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. In other words, what I'm telling you is God created everything, and I do mean absolutely everything that we need to live. Yeah, He created it. In Jeremiah chapter 32, look at verse 17, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. It says, "Ah, Lord God," this is Jeremiah here, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens," plural, "and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." Now, you know what? I could stop right there and just preach on Jeremiah 32:17 for the rest of the service. But let me read the verse to you again. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens." God made the heavens and the earth. Notice it doesn't say earths. Heavens and the earth. By your great power and outstretched arm, there is nothing too hard for you. Now, before we move on, you need to underline that verse in your Bible if it's not underlined or highlighted already, because you need to understand that wherever you are right now, wherever you are right now, there is absolutely nothing too God, excuse me, too hard for God. Now, you ought to let that bring comfort to you right now. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen. Nothing too hard for him. God can change anything. God can fix anything. You know what he's looking for? Faith. He's looking for faith. Glory to God. All right. Let's flip back now into the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, the very first chapter. And I'm just talking to you for a moment about the awesomeness of God. Hebrews, the first chapter. Hallelujah. And I'll begin let me see where I want to begin. I'll just begin at verse 7. I'm kind of jumping. Well, I'll tell you what, rather than just jumping in the middle of this, I'll just go ahead and begin reading at verse 1, and then we'll read down to where I want to go. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who made the worlds? He made the worlds through his Son. Amen. Jesus. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, hallelujah, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, glory to God, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hallelujah. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But now let's take a look at verse 8. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. You see that? You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And we have a lot of lawlessness going on in our world today. But our Lord loves righteousness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Now take a look at verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But, listen at this, but you are the same. But you are the same. There's coming a time when these heavens as we know it will be no more. It's going to burn. Going to burn. You hear me? It's going to burn. Hallelujah. Let me read verse 10 again. I want you to grab this. It says, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. I want to emphasize, everything else is going to perish, but Jesus remains. He's awesome, ain't he? And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same. And your years will not fail. Just want you to get an idea of how awesome God really is. I want you to understand, and I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. I want you to understand that we cannot exist without Him. Nothing can. Amen. Now, the second thing I want to bring out to you is this. We're told to ask God for what we need, aren't we? Now, God is awesome. He loves us. John 3:16 tells us that He loves us. And now, we, as His children, are told to ask Him for whatever it is that we might need. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what happens? He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So now let me bring all this together. Number one, we see in the Word of God that God is an awesome God, and God created everything that is. And God, well, matter of fact, Jesus Himself said, before Abraham was, I am. So God even told Moses, I am that I am. You know, and Moses once said, well, who am I going to tell the children of Israel that sent me? You know. And God says, tell them that I am sent you. And then Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So we know that He is the great I am. He's the great God. He ain't going nowhere. He'll always be God. Amen. And nobody will kick Him off His throne. Amen. Now, this great God of ours also told us that whatever we need to ask Him, and He will provide it for us. Am I right? Amen. 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 But here's what I want to bring out to you in the third point here is God is awesome. God is generous to his children. But God does not want selfish children. He don't want spoiled children. He wants us to love him. Do you believe God wants you to love him? He loves us. Now he wants us to love him. Jesus wants us to love him for who he is. And not just for what he can do for us. You know, we live in a world that has this attitude. They'll love you if, as long as you're helping them. That's not real love anyway. And the attitude a lot of people have towards you is, what have you done for me lately? Now, you might have sold the farm to help them out 10 years ago, but they didn't learn from that. Now they're back in a mess again, and they want you to help them some more. And if you refuse to help them, then they get upset at you and say not so nice things about you. And then they talk about you. And they tell others how much they dislike you and how bad you are and how stingy you are. Only because all they can remember is what you've done for them lately. And so when they look at the lately chart, there's nothing there. So now you're on the enemy's list. Hey, that's the world we live in, folks. What have you done for me lately? And we take that same attitude to God. But we have a God that wants to be loved by his people. Amen. Are you still here? Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I want to read you a story. You're familiar with this story, but I want to read it again anyway, as soon as I get there. Hallelujah. Listen to this story. You know it, but I'll just listen to it. Or follow along with me. This is Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he is Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat," listen to what Mary did, "she sat at Jesus' feet, and she heard his word." In other words, Jesus had her attention. And now I have to ask the question, who or what has your attention? Jesus had this woman's attention. Verse 40, "But Martha was distracted." You see that? "She was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' Jesus, I'm in the kitchen baking bread. I'm cooking collard greens, mac and cheese, I heard somebody say. She was not cooking pork, I can tell you that right now. Fried chicken. She was trying to do it up for the crowd and for her guests. And she got upset with her sister because her sister chose to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. And by the way, let me throw this in. Food is never more important than the word of God. What Martha didn't realize is she had the miracle worker right there in her house. Food was not a problem for Jesus. But the word was more important. She could have sat right with Mary and heard the word of God, forget the food. And after Jesus finished speaking, he just worked a miracle. Amen. And I certainly believe the food would have tasted better than what Martha fixed. Hallelujah. Because the anointing was on it. Would have been on it. But let me get back to where I was. So she said, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, and now this is not what she wanted to hear, okay? Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. What is the thing that's needed? The word of God. But now let me point something out. Why did I read this story? The reason, now y'all stay with me. The reason it's so important is because the word of God was present. The word of God was available, but because of distractions, Martha didn't hear it. She was working hard. What she was doing weren't bad. She wasn't sinning. She was working. She was trying to take care of her guests. But Jesus pointed out to her, Martha, listen to me. You're doing good, but there's some things more important, and the word is one of them. Matter of fact, the word of God is the most important thing. Amen. Amen. So I have to ask the hard question. Is there a distraction in your life? Is there something that distracts you and keeps you away from the word of God? I have to admit, we have a bunch of seats left unoccupied here in this church. Now, the folks that's not here, are they not here for a legitimate reason? I don't know. There can be a legitimate reason, but sometimes folk won't come just because it takes some effort. Or there's other things that they think, I must get this done. I must get this done. This is very important to me. But what they don't realize is it's more important to them than it is to Jesus. Do we have a genuine love for God? Do we want more of him? Martha was not a bad person. She was a good lady. But she chose the natural over the spiritual. She chose the natural over the spiritual. Don't ever work so hard. Are you listening to me? Don't ever work so hard that you're going to be too tired to come hear the word of God. See, we have to prioritize what's most important and what's least important. Now, the things that are least important, they are still important. Okay? But Jesus would let Martha know, my word is more than important than that food you're cooking in there. Mary loved Jesus. She sat at his feet. She wanted to hear his word because she knew his word would set her free. His word would give her the answers that she needed. Martha was expecting Jesus to rebuke Mary and tell her, get in that kitchen and help your sister. Don't you see she's laboring in there? She got flour all over her apron, all over her hands. Get in there and help her. That's not what he said. He said she chosen the good thing. The good thing. Folks, we are living in a time now, we better choose the good thing. Hallelujah. Mary chose to learn more about her Savior and the things of God. Martha chose to serve the people. Are you still here? I wrote this. All the less important things that we devote our time to will one day be history. All the things that we're giving a lot of our time to right now, more time than necessary, let me put it that way. You do know that it was necessary for Martha to cook at some point in time. She just chose the wrong time. When the Savior's in the house, the Word of God's in the house, she should say, we'll eat later. I'm sitting here with my sister and hear the Word of God. But the things, the little things that we choose, maybe they're not so little to us, but how does God see them? Can I ask you a question? And I have to ask myself the same question. I'm preaching to you, but I'm also preaching to me too. The things, I'll just use myself, and you can use yourself. The things that I think are important to me, how important are they to God? Now I know that I know that I know that I'm supposed to be here in this church ministering the word of God to you. Now, when I woke up this morning, I'm a little bit tired. Well, more than a little bit tired. I slept very little last night for whatever reason. Not real sure. But I could have said Lord, I'm tired. I think I'm just going to hang in here today. I'm going to send my wife or call Minister Street or somebody else, you know, let them preach for me, and I'm just going to lay here and snore. Nope. I could have done that, but that wasn't God's perfect will for me. You know what? I stand before you now. Don't even feel tired. Feel good. Feel like I could run a mile. But I'm not going to. I might walk one. I'm not running one. You follow what I'm saying? And we need to ask ourselves, should I be doing what I'm doing when I have an opportunity to sit under the Word of God and hear His Word, or just spend time with God on your own? Years ago, and this was some years ago, I don't know, maybe 30-some years ago, I'm telling this on myself, I was watching a television program that was very interesting to me. And I'm sitting there watching the program, and all of a sudden I had an unction to go pray. I did. I had an unction to go pray. And I'm thinking to myself, and back in those days, you know, you didn't have the DVR. Well, I'll just pause it or I'll record it, and I'll come back and finish watching it. It was none of that. But I had an unction to go pray, and I did not. I just kind of overrode it. Shouldn't have, but I did. And I finished watching my program. After the program was over, I no longer had an unction to pray. One thing I believe happened, whatever I was supposed to be praying for, God got somebody else to do it. Somebody else obeyed when I did not. So I had to repent before God. I did. I had to repent before God. Now, what He wanted me to pray about, I don't even know. He might have wanted me to pray in the Spirit or pray in other tongues. I'm not sure. But my point is, I should have, and I did not. All because what I was watching, I thought, was more important than going to pray. I kind of felt like, well, you know, I have a prayer life. Lord, I pray all the time. You know, I want to watch this. I catch up. Don't work that way, does it, folk? Y'all still with me? Amen. Don't forget my subject. Do we have a genuine love for God? A genuine love for God says, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to put God first. Just like Mary did, she sat at Jesus' feet, heard His word. She put the word of God first. Now, I go on for just a few more minutes. Turn in your Bibles to John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter. And let's look at some things Jesus said. I'm going to another chapter also, but I'm just want to pull this one verse out here in John chapter 14. Jesus said, now listen to this. If, everybody say, this is 15th verse, 14th chapter. If, you see that? If you love me, do what? Say what? Jesus is saying, if you love me, do what I tell you to do. If you love me, obey me. If you love me. Now, let's flip over to the 15th chapter. And Jesus is still teaching here. And I'll just pick it up at verse 10, chapter 15 of John. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you. Now listen to this. That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You see that? Let me read verse 11 again. These things, and now he preached about several different things, including keeping his commandments. He says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now let's go back to Martha and Mary for just a moment. You don't have to turn over there, but just think about it. Which one of the two sisters was at peace? Mary. Martha was frustrated, upset, mad at Mary and upset at Jesus, I believe. But he said, if you keep my commandments, your joy will be full. And verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he went on to say this in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends, which Jesus knew that's what he would do for us. Hallelujah. I want you to go with me to chapter 21, and we'll close for today anyway. At John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Now, you know Peter's story, don't you? He denied Jesus, didn't he? He denied him three times. And he was so angry at himself because he denied his Lord. I mean, come on, Peter. Peter was in Jesus' inner circle. Peter, James, and John. He was in the inner circle. Matter of fact, he was the one of the three that got to go to the mountain with Jesus. Saw him transfigured on the mountain, Peter. But yet, in spite of all of that, when the pressure was on, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus, didn't he? He denied that he even knew him. And he was in such anguish, such distress, because he denied his Lord. Peter felt like all hope is gone for me. I've denied Jesus Christ. I know who he is. But because of fear, matter of fact, not only did he deny him, he even cussed in the process. Amen. In the South, we say cuss. in the South, cuss is spelled C-U-S-S. But Peter knew he messed up, and he knew he messed up big time. And he was ready to go back to his old trade. He's ready to go back to fishing because he thought he had blew it. But Jesus came to Peter after he was resurrected. And Jesus came and he began to speak to Peter. This is John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. It says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, what's the next three words? Next four words. Do what? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And he went on to say, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And guess what he said? Feed my sheep. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. God knows that if we love him, we're going to do what he tells us to do. Are you still here? It's when that love began to cool off that we then want to do our own thing. And let me tell you something. The devil is so slick, folks. He is so slick. You know, he'll say, oh, you don't have to do that this time. I mean, come on. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been loving God. You've been doing this. No, take a break. You take one break. And then you take a second break. Then you take a third break. Now you're cooling off. Then there's a fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eight, nine, ten break. Uh-oh, you look back and say, ooh, I used to go to church. You know I used to pray. You know I used to read God's word. Well, what happened? I'm not quite sure. But what happened is you cool off. You have to understand, don't the Bible say we're not ignorant of the devil's devices? If you walking with the Lord and you love God, the devil's not going to walk up to you and says, go commit adultery. Go find you another woman. Go find you another man. No, he know that ain't going to work. But what he does is try little at a time. Just a little bit at a time, just a little bit, little bit, little bit. And eventually, he'll get you where he wants you, and then you cross the line. Matter of fact, he gets you closer to the line. I'm back here. I'm nowhere close to the edge of this platform. But you know, step by step, getting closer and closer, closer and closer. Still on the platform though, but I'm getting closer and closer, closer, closer. What happens my next step? I'm going to step about 3 feet, at least, I think. And that's not going to feel good to my 72-year-old body, just to walk off this thing. But you know, people do it spiritually all the time. You listening to them? They do it spiritually all the time. And for various reasons. Sometimes offense can cause it. Lustful eyes and desires can cause it. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? All right, let's I gotta finish up. Y'all still with me, right? Verse 16. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Now, let me point out to you, we won't go there, let me point out to you that Peter had already told Jesus before his death, burial, and resurrection that he loved him, and Jesus, I'll never leave your side. I'm right here with you. Oh, I've been told that as a pastor. Pastor, I'm with you. I'm here with you through the thick and through the thin. And it didn't even take the thick for him to leave. The thin got him. Peter told Jesus, I'm here with you, Lord. But Jesus told him, Peter, before that rooster crow three times, you be out of here. I'm just kind of paraphrasing it. So Jesus came back to Peter to get him restored. He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And we have to ask ourselves the same question. Do I love him? Or do I love him the way I used to? Have I slacked off? This is not the time to quit. I would love him more, but, get the buts out the way. Don't look for excuses. Let's have a genuine love for God. There's a song we sing, I'll go with him, all the way. I hope that's you. Should be all of us. Amen. Now, I'm closing. I'm getting ready to close my Bible. I'll probably revisit this again because I didn't really finish everything I wanted to say to you. But loving God places us in a position for God to use us. And God used Peter mightily, didn't he? Amen. I mean, come on. He wrote two books of the Bible, 1st and 2nd Peter. Two powerful books. Not only that, God used him mightily. You know what? Why? Because he loved Jesus. He had a genuine love for God. Husbands, those of you that are married husbands, if you love your wives, and I believe you do, there is nothing you won't do for her if you really love her. There's nothing you won't do for her. I'm not talking about something crazy. You understand what I'm saying? You love your wife, and you will do whatever it takes for your wife, because you love her. But if you're not caring much for her, you don't care a whole lot about what happened to her. She might need a new dress. You look at the old one, says, it'll do. I'd rather spend my money on something else. If you love your wife, you want her happy. Now, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm talking to the men now. I'm a man, and I'm talking to the men. I'm telling you guys, if you love her, you want to make her happy. I heard amen from the ladies. I ain't hear nothing from y'all. The preacher want to hear an amen.
Amen.
Better say it now because you might hear about it when you get home. Why were you so quiet, huh? Glory to God. Abe, have you been blessed, folks? Love him, will you? Give him all you got. Give him all you got. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word.